today's question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. What's your favorite athlete cameo in a movie or television show? And I'm a little bit disappointed in my lack of knowledge in the definition of the word cameo. If you had asked me coming in today, what does cameo mean when it refers to a movie? To me, it means someone portraying themselves in the movie, kind of a walk-on cameo.
Doesn't have to be.
Doesn't have to be. Just a brief role. A number of people have already suggested O.J. Simpson in the Naked Gun series. He wasn't making cameos in those movies. He was one of the actors in those movies,
right? I think there is a better cameo in those movies that people haven't mentioned yet.
You may be right about that. And I don't consider that a cameo, but a lot of people apparently do. But share your thoughts whether it's...
I must kill...
It's OJ. That's my man
there.
That's my guy. So you can get in on that on Twitter today, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler as well. I don't know if we're going to catch up with head coach Gus Bradley today or tomorrow after practice. I don't know what's more likely, but hopefully it'll be one of those. Maurice Jones-Drew's in the building. He may have eaten the building by the looks of him this morning. Oh, my
goodness. He's enjoying retirement.
Wow. As someone put it to me, somebody needs to tell him to buy bigger pants now. And I think, you know, that's what happens when formerly skinny guys or fit guys go the way of the soft midsection, Tony. They like to keep in the back of their mind. It's like, I've got shorts in my dresser drawers that I probably haven't fitted to since my 20s.
But you hang on.
Oh, yeah, because, well, you never know. One day those shorts are still in good shape. If I were to lose, I don't know, 75 pounds, I'd slip right back into those without a problem, and I'd have a whole new wardrobe. Why buy a bunch of new clothes? So I think Maurice is kind of going through some of that. He's got some business scheme he's cooking up right now that he's in town for. It's very hush-hush. But I don't know if he's going to stop by before the show is out. Bahati Van Pelt's going to pop in. We'll tell you all about him. He was a longtime member of the Jacksonville Jaguar organization, now doing work with the NFLPA. We'll get into that with him and some issues from around the league as we embark on the final week of minicamp. What are you expecting? What are you hoping to see? Are you coming out to minicamp? You need to go to jaguars.com/veteran minicamp to print out your minicamp ticket, so to speak. It's free to come, but you have to have that ahead of time. They're going to ask for that at the gate when you walk in, so just go ahead and take the 2 minutes it's going to take you to navigate to jaguars.com/veteran minicamp. And while you're there, I mean, you're already there reading Johnny O, right? Every day? Mailbag every single day, right? So just stop on by, print out your pass, and take care of that today if you're planning on coming out on Thursday so you have that, and just throw it in the glove box of your car. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. 641-1010 is the phone number if you'd like to get on board today. Question of the day, once again, what's your favorite athlete cameo in a movie or TV show? You can respond via Twitter, on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, on the phone lines, or, of course, the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line, which is also 641-1010. Just getting started on a Wild West Guns of Gold Monday, live at Everbank. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, happy Monday to you, Wild West Guns and Gold. I know Johnny O is missing those guys. We'll get a chance to talk to him for the next few days. He just popped in a minute ago as mini camp. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, morning sessions each day. Get you out of the heat of the day just a little bit. Reminder, jaguars.com/veteran minicamp. We'll get you your all-access pass to what's going on out there. 641-1010, we'll get to the phone lines here in just a second. Also want to get into interesting comments from Chris Borland, the recently retired San Francisco 49er linebacker. Played 1 year in the league as a third-round pick last year. Played very well. And then said, you know, health concerns, keeping himself mentally sharp later in life, you know, fear of concussions and impact of having concussions. Said he hit a couple of concussions last year. Just talking about safety issues in the National Football League. We'll get into that coming up here shortly. Also, Bahati Van Pelt, as I mentioned, longtime kind of a player liaison between the players and management here, and a guy that helped assisted players in their post-playing careers as well, and now is doing that with an organization called The Trust with the NFLPA, and he'll join us in studio coming up here shortly. By the way, Tony, first sporting event I ever did play-by-play for, Bahati Van Pelt missed a half-court shot at the buzzer that would have put Flagler College ahead and given them an epic victory in a back-and-forth game versus Embry-Riddle
Did you keep your call
early
of it?
90s. You know what? Honestly, I thought about it. I probably have it on a well-maintained cassette tape somewhere in the closet. I got a box or several boxes of cassette tapes. Does heat destroy cassette tapes? I wonder, like, if you...
I doubt it's good for it.
It's probably not good for it, right? Yeah. But, like, if you had a cassette tape and you kept it away from any kind of magnetic source, which, of course, will erase it, but you just put it in your baking hot car. You know, cause I've got some up in the attic, and it's not cool up in the attic.
No, definitely not.
I'm not air conditioning my attic, so I'm wondering if it's just a mess of nothing. It's quite possible. All that's lost to posterity now. Oh well, what are you gonna do about it? 641-1010, let's get Bob on the program to get things started today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony. Hey Bob, how are you?
Hey gents, how are you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
Good. Well, first of all, if you want to make sure those cassettes last, wrap them up in aluminum foil and stick them in the car. Won't matter. Acts as an insulator.
Is that right? All right. Yep. Good to know.
Yeah. I grew up in the electronics biz. So, a little Jurassic Park trivia for you. The young kid that's in that movie is Elvis's grandson. His first acting role. His first name is Riley. I don't remember his last name. Took my son and grandson yesterday, and I was just amazed how many adults were there. Really amazing.
Would it not be Presley? I mean, was it Priscilla's kid?
No, Lisa's son by her first marriage.
Oh, Lisa.
And his name is Riley. I don't remember his last name. I think it's Keo or something like that, but I'm not positive.
Oh, that's right.
That, so.
Yeah. Priscilla, that's right. Priscilla's kid would be his daughter or son. Right. I got
right,
you.
Right.
Okay.
So Priscilla would be the grandmother. So.
Gotcha.
Just
all right.
Useless trivia. Okay. Cameo. Cannonball Run. Driving a panel truck with hair and no front teeth. Terry Bradshaw.
Terry Bradshaw.
That's where they drive the panel van into the swimming pool.
Absolutely.
Okay.
A Cannonball Run. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate
it. Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Cannonball Run, Tony. You ever see it?
Yes.
Love Cannonball Run. As a kid especially. Oh, I love Cannonball Run and Smokey and the Bandit. And something about that era of time when let's take these road trip movies/races, got to get there fast. It was a small subgenre out there for a very brief time, and I was all about it back in the day. So, good stuff there, Bob. We appreciate it. And, you know, here's the thing about that I'm sure wonderful advice about protecting your cassette tapes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any more cassette tapes to protect at this point, right?
they're gone.
I'm guessing they're probably already pretty much had it. And, you know, it's not like, my son has shown any inclination. Hey, you want to go listen to some of Dad's old basketball play-by-play? Doesn't that sound exciting?
Right.
Dad, why don't you get me some more Legos?
Which is why he's into Jurassic World now.
Right. How do you think Dad's paying for the Legos, kid? Here, listen up. All right? Let's go to Gary up next here on 1010XL. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you? My favorite was when Wade Boggs was on Cheers and the gang didn't believe it. They thought Gary was playing a practical joke on him and they pantsed Wade Boggs.
They didn't think it was really Wade Boggs? Was that? I don't remember that episode.
Yeah, but they passed it, and Norm got the wall, and he goes, Wade Boggs.
How about that?
They chased him all the way through town and pantsed him.
He's laughing right now. All right, Gary. Gary, that one really stuck with him. Wade Boggs, Tony, what did he eat before every game? Practically every day, probably, he ate. Do you remember what it was?
I do not.
Chicken. Some form of chicken dish every day. Wade Boggs was also a, shall we say, a sex addict, I believe, is what the story was. Was it Margot somebody or other back in the 80s?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know he had the cross-country, the legacy of the cross-country flight where he drank 50 beers in one cross-country flight and then got three hits that day. After the flight.
How do you drink 50 beers and live?
Well, if you haven't been staying caught up with It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, they actually had an episode this season dedicated to the Wade Boggs flight where they all got on the plane and the plan was to break Wade Boggs' record. All of them trying individually. And it's one of the funniest episodes they've done in the last couple seasons. Charlie going into full Charlie mode after having 50 beers is pretty fantastic stuff.
Well, obviously, that's TV and that's, you know, comedy and all that stuff. I find it hard to believe that any normal human being actually drank 50 beers on one plane flight, right? I mean, I think, going back to the 70s, I remember reading an article in the 70s I believe it was, on Andre the Giant in Sports Illustrated, of all places to have it, considering the status of pro wrestling. But regardless, I want to say it said he drank like two cases of beer and a couple of bottles of wine with dinner. And, you know, but he was 7 foot whatever and 400 and something pounds. He's, you know, Wade Boggs
is a big guy.
Is an average sized human being, even for an athlete. 50 beers just seems like, unbelievable.
Well, and apparently Charlie Day, who plays Charlie in It's Always Sunny, had the opportunity to meet Wade Boggs when they were getting ready to do this episode. And Wade pulled him aside and he was like, "Charlie, the number's actually 107. He said on a flight across the country, he drank 107 beers.
107 beers. All right.
Wade Boggs.
Sure that was the case. Moving along, 641-1010. Let's get Ben up next this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Ben. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I think it came out in 1990, but in The Exorcist 3, George C. Scott had a dream sequence, and he was like in a hospital or something, and Patrick Ewing was an angel in the dream sequence. He was standing there, he was just watching George C. Scott walk by, but yeah, I remember that.
Are you in The Exorcist 3? He was an angel.
He was an angel in like a dream sequence George C. Scott was having. And he had wings. He even had angel wings and everything, yeah.
Really?
Look it up on YouTube. Look up Patrick Ewing. Well,
trust me, we're heading there as we speak because I have to see this. And The Exorcist 3, I thought, was actually a decent movie. The Exorcist 2
was great.
The Exorcist fantastic. 2 was horrible. I don't know if you saw The Exorcist 2.
Yeah, it wasn't even in sequence, but yeah,
right.
Exorcist 3 was good.
No, I agree. All right, we will do that. The woman who creeped me out in The Exorcist 3 was the old lady who crawls up on the ceiling. Anybody crawling up on the ceiling freaks me out, Tony. You don't like this crawling on the ceiling
thing? Oh, my gosh, there he is.
Patrick Ewing with the wings?
Yeah.
Is he everything he was cracked up to be?
Well, it's just the picture of it. I haven't watched the video yet, but that's definitely Patrick
Ewing.
That's
all you really need to see, probably, is the photo of that. But I'll have to check that out. Keep that up on your screen over
with
there.
Fabio. What is this?
Fabio was in that too?
Apparently.
Fabio and Patrick Ewing were in The Exorcist 3.
Yeah.
You have just won the next 100 bar bets for the rest of time. That's unbelievable. Never would have guessed. Chris Borland, Tony. Smooth segue here. Chris Borland, linebacker for the 49ers, former linebacker for the 49ers now, announcing his retirement this offseason in a surprise move. After being drafted in the third round last year and playing exceptionally well as a rookie, filling in, they had injuries, of course, Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman to deal with, so he got a lot more playing time than expected. Stepped away and said he was concerned for his health and safety.
Yeah.
And the league at the time said, you know, in part of their response, never been a safer time to play football, and kind of took umbrage with his suggestion otherwise. Borland had this to say as Jenny Ventress was filling in for Peter King on Monday Morning Quarterback. This week and for a few weeks, I believe. She says, "I agree," or Borland says, "I agree. There's never been a safer time to play football, but it doesn't mean it's safe." A statistic that was released around the same time was that concussions are down 25%. By that logic, in 3 years, they won't exist. Says Borland, "I don't think concussions are down 25%. I didn't report a couple this past year. I do think they've taken some positive measures to have neurologists on the sideline. And for the targeting and spearing, taking that out of the game is a good step. Just to be truthful, though, it's a dangerous game, and it's not good for you in any way physically. That's part of the story, and that's okay. I don't want to be a crusader against football," says Borland. "I love football, but it is dangerous, and it's okay to be honest about that. Life is not about getting out alive. It's part of your if it's part of your equation to play the game, by all means, play it. Just to understand what you could be getting yourself into," which seems reasonable. But he suggests, well, these statistics on concussions being reduced are because guys are continuing to lie about it. And with the new protocols, I think it's easier than ever to take guys out of games, at least for a portion of time, go through the testing, the baseline testing and all that stuff. And his point is like, hey, you know what? It's still a world in which we lie to stay on the field. And, you know, injury equates to weakness in some people's minds. They're trying to break that cycle, but it's pretty well ingrained, Tony, you know, from, I think, a very young age still with football. And, you know, Borland's basically saying, you know, don't always believe all the stats. I got to believe there's some reduction some actual reduction. They're really taking out some of these helmet-to-helmet hits, but you can get concussed on just about any play in the National Football League. Doesn't mean every player is at risk if you're just running a go route and nobody's touching you. But there is, you don't have, it doesn't have to be a big collision as we found out. It can be cumulative small collisions. It can be a lot of things. And as Borland said, guys are still whining about it at a pretty high rate.
Well, and I think it gives you a little bit more insight too into why Chris Borland retired. Look, he's never going to feel like the game is safe, right? And even if I think that you can say the game's probably safer than it's ever been, I think they're more aware of the risks of playing football than they've ever been. The guys who strap on those helmets every Sunday, right? I mean, they know the risks that they're running, and maybe 25, 30 years ago you didn't. I think that you know exactly what you're getting into. I think that the officials are doing more to protect players than they've ever done in the history of this game, and fans have complained about some of the protections that we've been giving players for the past handful of years in the National Football League. I think the game is safer than it's ever been. That doesn't mean football's ever going to be a safe game to play. It's a collision sport. It's a car wreck sport. And in the end, the guys who decide that this is what they're going to do for a career have to come to terms with the fact that that's what they're doing. They're choosing to put their body through a car wreck every 40 seconds to play this game and get paid the way they do to play the game of football. Doesn't mean it's not safer than it's ever been. It's never going to be a safe sport to play.
And
it's
not. I think he's being reasonable about that. He's saying, I'm not crusading against the game. For me, I didn't feel it was safe for me to continue to play football, and that's a choice I made.
That's why he's not playing.
The issue I have with that, though, is that a lot of people have suggested that this has been something that he's always considered. It's tough. What are you supposed to do? If you indicate that to a team, you probably never get the chance to play. If you think, you know what,
sure,
this is a concern of mine, I may not be a long-term guy. Certainly they're not taking you in the third round as far as that goes. And he did return. He had announced he'd voluntarily return all his signing bonus money, which doesn't make him a hero. It's what he should do in that circumstance, at least the unearned portion of his signing bonus. But he comes in, probably makes about $500,000 when it's all said and done.
Where else is he going to do that?
Nowhere, right?
Right.
And so he jump starts the rest of his life by taking 1 year risk. But in doing so, the 49ers give up a pretty significant asset with a third round pick. Where, as we've seen here in Jacksonville, you're pulling starters to borderline starting quality guys in the third round. Every team's hoping to get guys that eventually turn out to be starters in the third round
most part. And if this was in the back of his mind, I can understand why the 49ers and fans would be frustrated with that. Look, we watch teams across this league let go of guys that they feel like are no longer worth it to them constantly, right? I mean, that's a reality of the National Football League. If a guy like Chris Borland, who feels like I'm going to put myself at risk to try to get myself a head start on what I'm doing for the rest of my life because there's no other skill I have that can give me this step forward in my life. I can't go play baseball. I can't go play basketball. I happen to be pretty gifted to go play the game of football. I'm going to get what I can and get out while I'm still healthy enough to do it. It's the other end of what NFL teams do to players that they don't feel like it's worth it to have them anymore.
Right.
He doesn't feel like it's worth it to play the game anymore. Does it stink for the 49ers? Sure. Does it mean that the process may change with how teams determine what guys are going to draft based on how much they really want to be a part of this game for the next 10 years? Maybe.
I don't know if it can.
Right. Maybe.
What are you going to do to get inside somebody's head?
But I don't get mad at Chris Borland for what he did.
Mad at him. Again, I might feel differently if it impacted, you know, a team I cared about other than the 49ers, but that's not the case. And sure, he's got the right to walk away if he wants to. It's his right. And I'm, you know, I would expect that the 49ers would have pursued, if he didn't make it easily accessible, that unearned signing bonus money. Basically, if you sign a 4-year deal and you play 1 year and you retire, you're giving back 3/4 of your signing bonus is what's going to happen.
Right.
So, it wasn't like he got a $10 million signing bonus being a third round draft pick. I think it's more not having him on the field. And that team got rocked with a series. We've talked about that of off season retirements, unexpected retirements along the way. 641-1010 if you'd like to get on board. That's the way to do it. That's also the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Question of the day, simply asking you, what's your favorite athlete cameo in a movie or TV show, you can tweet the program, post on the Facebook page, call or use the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line at 641-1010. Coming back, Bahati Van Pelt going to tell us about The Trust, a new program from the NFLPA as he joins us in studio. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here at Jaguars today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. All right, we continue along live from Everbank. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Jaguars today on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Not every day, Tony, I get to spread the legacy of the Flagler Mafia with you right here. Bahati Van Pelt is a member of that esteemed alumni group. That's right. And you know the thing I don't like about you, Bahati? You look exactly like you looked like when you're playing basketball at Flagler. All right? You're in too good a shape in your early middle ages, right? Because you're early. You're a young pup, man.
I'm 42, but sometimes the body feels 52. Not much basketball these days.
It's looking 32, though, so you're in good shape, man. How you been keeping yourself, all right?
Doing good, doing good. Happy about the organization that I'm affiliated with and tell you a little more about it, but it's also good to be back in Jacksonville. This is home for me.
How many years with this organization?
15. Came 15 here in March of 1998 and left here in March of 2013.
You were such a frequent presence in the hallways here over the years. Even folks who didn't know you well, I probably saw you say, who is this guy? He's everywhere. He's always here. Your title here, you're Director of Player Development and Youth Football. In your time here with the Jags, what were some of the responsibilities that you had?
Just working with guys off the field. I had the fortunate experience to work with the rookies as they were coming in the league, helping them transition from college to the NFL. Also working with our veteran players on going back to school, putting on financial education seminars, just really trying to educate guys on all of the things that they could take advantage of off the field, and then trying to eliminate the distractions of what it takes of being a professional athlete so they can perform on Sundays.
I don't know what overall, Tony, I think the happiest thing I am is that Bahati didn't go into broadcasting because he's got the best voice out of all of us.
Good voice.
Right? Yeah, but when you got Sexton and Lagerman and those guys, we had the broadcasting part held down pretty good. So for me, it was just, I didn't do interviews back then either. You know, Skip Richardson and I, we worked very closely together, and you know, we were kind of behind the scenes making sure that things went well on that end. We had enough people that were doing the interviews back then.
Right on. So. I hear you, man. I hear you. But we always knew you'd be a guy that eventually, if you left the organization, you'd always continue to go on to bigger and better things. And now the thing you're involved with for the last little while has been an organization called The Trust. It's an offshoot of the National Football League Players Association. Just in a nutshell, give us the purpose of this organization.
Yeah, so The Trust was there was funding that was negotiated between the union and the players and during the lockout to provide benefits for former player services. And out of that language was designed The Trust. So The Trust is an organization for any player that has played two or more credited seasons in the league. He's eligible to enroll in The Trust. And we have financial education. We have financial assistance through our Professional Athletes Foundation. We also have a $2 million year scholarship for guys who want to go back to school or get a vocational degree or professional certification. We work with Babson College, which is the number one entrepreneurial school up in Boston. And they put on an entrepreneur workshop for guys who want to own their own businesses. We do regional conferences for guys so they can get educated on mindset and skill set as they transfer out of the league. So we provide a holistic approach. Our motto is that we meet former players where they are, because we understand that if you are challenged in one of those areas, it can affect your holistic transition out of the league. And so for us, it's just making sure that no matter what a guy needs as he leaves the NFL, we're there to provide resources for him.
Over the years, we've heard some alarming statistics about how many players in all of professional sports end up basically back to zero, bankrupt, what have you. They don't know how to manage your money. Do we still find this is a very prevalent problem with former NFL players, or are the education efforts included with a group like yours helping to lessen that as the years go by?
Yeah, well, the study you're talking about, the big study that everybody remembers is, I believe Sports Illustrated ran a stat that says 75% of former NFL players are either bankrupt or divorced within 3 years, I think, coming out of the league. We've actually found that statistic is not true. We actually have several former players that are doing quite well. The website, 5850, I think the one that is on ESPN, they just came out with a study that said that former NFL players do not file for bankruptcy at any higher rate than a normal citizen who is a male of that age with that amount of money. So that's comforting to know that our guys, while they're still meeting challenges, there are some things that they're doing that are not out of the norm with the normal population. But for us, it's about education. You know, I always say that we're trying to educate our former players, then we want to enhance their skill set, and then ultimately we want to empower them to move on to have a successful transition.
Do you, obviously you know Donovan Darius, you were here throughout his career. He's very much an advocate for helping guys transition. Have you worked with him at all in that capacity?
Absolutely. So Donovan, works for the NFL's Legends, community, which is an organization that is promoting transition and healthy transition among former players. I know Donovan personally. We put on a regional conference. It's our education platform for former players. We had one in Tampa last year. Donovan came over. He was a part of that. I speak to Donovan pretty regularly. He sends guys to me all the time. He has them call my cell phone number personally. But Donovan is a great advocate for making sure that guys know what's out there as a former player, and not only know about it, but actually take advantage of the resources. Because at the end of the day, these resources were put in place for players to take advantage of. All the money that we have to fund the organization can only be used for former player benefits. It doesn't sit in the bank and collect interest. It has to be spent on former players, and Donovan does a great job of making sure guys know that.
Bahati Van Pelt here with us in studio talking about the Trust, which is an organization, an offshoot of the National Football League Players Association. Do you find players are surprised at what is actually available to them when you finally get the word out to these guys?
Yes, a couple of things. One, they're surprised that there is an organization that is built specifically for them, and then they are amazed at all that we offer. And I always tell guys that what we offer now is not what we will be offering in the future, because we will build on the foundation that we set from the start. So when we first launched the organization, we had certain partners that were in place. Since then, we've added the YMCA. So every former player gets a free one-year membership to any YMCA in the country. That's something that we added last August. We've had over 650 guys take advantage of that. So it's things like that. We're looking to add a benefit, a medical benefit for former players who are 50 and over that addresses internal medicine. You know, we always say that there's so much information about the brain and concussions, but we want to make sure that we address the challenges that we know males of that age range face when they leave the league, and that's, you know, hypertension, high blood pressure, prostate cancer, diabetes, heart disease. We want to make sure that it's not just about the head, that we make sure we take care of those things as well, because those are the things that we know will cause you long-term health challenges in the future.
I would think the scholarship money is something they probably, there are a lot of guys say, wow, really? You're going to pay for me to go back to school?
Yes, $2 million a year is the scholarship fund, and each player can access up to $20,000 per calendar year, every year. And that not only includes guys that want to go back and finish their bachelor's degree, it includes master's, doctorate. We also cover vocational degrees. We cover professional certifications. So I've got guys that are in barber school. I've got guys that are in culinary school, guys that are truck drivers, guys that are getting their real estate license. It's not just about the education that we think you may need as a former player. We want to make sure that, as we say, we're meeting you where you are, and we're making sure that we do everything we can to help you achieve what your goals are, not what somebody may think your goals should be.
And give them the practical tools to make that happen.
Exactly.
Along the way.
Exactly. And we're also trying to make sure that we tell the story that not every former player struggles when they leave the league. So we, on our website, we have a thing called I Am More Than Football. And it gives guys a chance to tell their stories about not only who they were as a player, but what they're doing now in their post-career. Because like you said before, the myth is that everybody transitions poorly. We found that several men, not only do they transition well, but they connect with other former players to make sure that they assist in their transition.
Do you meet with any current players to make them aware of when it does come time to retire, we are available to you?
Yeah, so for the current players, there's a couple of platforms. One is social media. So we've got some things that we're coming for social media, from a social media standpoint, to help educate former players. We work with all of the player engagement directors. So Marcus Pollard is the director of player engagement here. We message and make sure that we get the word out to those guys. The union also has advocates. So there are former players who work for the NFLPA that work with the Marcuses and the player reps. So when Rasheen and Mojo were here, they were player reps for the Jaguars. So the advocates work closely with those guys. We also put on events. We have captain events throughout the season. We also have a big lounge that we put on during the weekend of Super Bowl, and where we draw a lot of active guys out. So for us, it's about making sure that they're aware of the brand, and then when they leave, they can access the services.
Maurice, by the way, now represents himself at the buffet line. Right. Saw him this morning, body. It's a shame what's happened to this formerly high-tuned athlete. Unbelievable.
Well, we've got some health and nutrition
get him the
services
YMCA
too.
Membership.
So yeah,
my man needs
yeah.
it.
We work with Exos, who's formerly known as Athletes Performance, and they do some what we call IRT to help get guys back in shape. But I saw Mojo in D.C. not too long ago, and he told me he was going to reach out to me because he wanted to get back in fighting shape.
There
so.
You go. He needs it, my man. And now, one of the great things that speaks well for this community here in Jacksonville is the number of former players that adopted as their home, that had no connection to it prior to coming to play for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We've seen it right from the onset of the franchise. So if I'm sure some of them may be listening today and maybe hearing about the trust
yes.
for the first time. So give them some information how they can get in contact with you
right.
or the organization and learn more.
All right. So for the guys that are listening, or if they're not listening and you know one of them and you want to have them reach out, there's three ways they can contact us. They can call us at 866-725-0063. They can also email us at info@playerstrust.com. Or they can get to us through the website, which is www.playerstrust.com. And then, you know, all they have to do is call us, email us. There's an enrollment process that you go through. You get assigned what we call a program manager, which is basically your player development person in your post-career. And we will get you through all of the services and refer to our partners. And the great thing about it is that everything is of no cost to the player. So it's free.
There you go. You gotta be, you can't beat that, Tony. And as I found out, Bahati, you may have found this out for yourself.
Do we get
the years.
These benefits for working in the building?
I don't think so, but I'll take it.
If you can somehow scrounge up six games on the active roster
for the next
we
two
can
years.
Talk.
For the next two
for the
years.
Next
we
two years.
But we find that the more some of these guys make, the more they enjoy the word free. It's funny how that correspond sometimes. The more you get, the more you want for free. So that'll be right in line with all your services. They'll all be very happy at the price tag.
Two things I've learned. Players like free and food. And if you can put free food in there together, then you really got something.
And let's be honest, you can scratch out players and put humans like those things. We all like the things that are free, and we all like good food. Bahati Van Pelt, it's great to see you continuing to do so well, man, and be a great example for all those other Flagler alumni out there that you can make it in life, people, despite you can overcome your Flagler College education. I kid. I love my Flagler College education. Bahati, playerstrust.com. That's probably the easiest thing for folks to remember. Give
Absolutely.
The email address one more time.
It's www.playerstrust.com.
And the email for folks that want to email directly?
info@playerstrust.com.
Perfect. All right. There you go. Bahati Van Pelt with The Trust, reaching out to former players, helping them make that transition to life after football. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you, too. And go Jaguars.
All right. There he goes. So they call him Van around these parts. Bahati Van Pelt, longtime member of the Jacksonville Jaguar organization. We come back. This date in football history and the Honda drive around the NFL. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on Jaguars Today, 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Mondays on Jaguars Today brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold, North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, everything from revolvers to sporting arms and everything in between. Wild West Guns and Gold meeting or beating any gun shop's price in the USA. Guaranteed. You can even trade your gold for guns, which is probably John Osher's favorite feature of Wild West Guns and Gold. You can visit them on South Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville or on the web at Guns4Jacks. That's Guns, the number 4, JAX.com. Call 693-0777 for Wild West. And June 19th, the Father's Day raffle going on June 19th through the 20th, drawing on the 20th for a free Nikon Pro Staff. 3 9x40 rifle scope. Nikon rep will be in house along with their knowledgeable staff with any questions to advise you on all your Nikon needs coming up this weekend for Father's Day. Store-wide Father's Day sale, so don't miss out on the giveaways at Wild West Guns and Gold that are going on right now. 641-1010. If you'd like to get on board here, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Tony, I don't know if you caught D-Rock's article at NFL Nation, the outlet of ESPN that basically has an embedded reporter with each team, and D-Rock's been the Jaguar representative
right.
for a while. And he got a question on Twitter from someone named Seabuck 11185, and perhaps that is his zip code. But regardless, he said, would you guess any Jags player has any of the following this year? 1,000 yards rushing, 1,000 yards receiving, a 10-sack, or a 5-interception season? And D-Rock went through and gave his opinion based on, you know, some historical precedent on what he thought was most and least likely. What do you think is most likely, if any of those you consider to be likely?
1,000-yard rusher.
I think so, right?
I think Yeldon getting 1,000 yards the most realistic.
I think if they give him the touches that Dave Caldwell has talked about, where they want him to average somewhere around 16 carries a game, kind of gives you a 250-carry base and maybe, you know, forget what he does in the passing game, but 250 carries at 4 yards a pop. If whoever the primary ball carrier is for the Jaguars this year doesn't average 4 yards a carry, it's going to be extremely disappointing.
Yes, it will be, and I don't think it's a problem they're going to have. I do think the offensive line is going to be significantly better than it was in 2014, and I think that T.J. Yeldon is a significant upgrade to what they had playing running back for them in 2014. So I expect them to be able to get a 1,000-yard rusher this year. That would be the most likely of those to me. The two defensive ones are tough.
10 sacks, it's tough to envision any one guy doing it.
When's the last time they had that? McCray?
McCray. 2007, I want to say.
Was
that
seven
the playoff
or six?
Year? Somewhere around that time frame, though, right? I mean, you're talking about the middle of the aughts. So it's been a while, close to 10 years, 8 years, whatever. It's too long.
They've only had it a handful of times, right?
Well, they've only had 1,000-yard receivers. Only two guys have been 1,000-yard receivers on this team, and
Kenny,
we know who they
Jenny.
Are. No other guy has ever had 1,000 yards, and I guess it's not really shocking when you look at how they struggled for so long to find the answer in the wide receiver core.
You know?
Justin Blackmon, I would suspect, had he not ever had suspension issues, would have been that guy already for this football
team. Maybe a couple times.
Right. I mean, Cecil Shorts came very close to getting it done, but, you know, that's part of the deal. You got to be on the field enough to get that done. Allen Robinson, you would think, and D-Rock agreed, would be the best bet this year, if you're talking about a 1,000-yard receiver. I think more so than Julius Thomas, because I think, you know, Julius Thomas is going to be a tremendous red zone weapon. I don't know how many go routes he's going to be running. You know, if you're going to be a 1,000-yard receiver, you're going to have to pick up some chunk plays. Not that he can't, you know, it's not like they'll never necessarily throw to him down the seam deep, or that he can't run after the catch, but
sure.
I think Robinson's the most likely guy if you're picking one. D-Rock doesn't think it's likely to happen. Honestly, in today's NFL, man, it's getting more and more difficult to not have a 1,000-yard receiver.
I know. With the way the passing game works in the NFL, and it's expanding more and more, it feels like, every year across the league, that, look, it seems virtually impossible that they haven't had a 1,000-yard wide receiver, just someone fall into a 1,000-yard season since those two guys left the team. I mean, how has that not happened, that at some point somebody just happened to get a 1,000 yards? It's pretty unbelievable. I don't know. They got to have, I would think, the longest active streak without a 1,000-yard receiver.
Oh, I would think so. 62.5 yards per game on average to get to 1,000 if you play all 16 games. And again, you got to play all 16 games. If there were to be a 10-sack guy on this team, Ryan Davis, Chris Clements, who's the most likely guy in your opinion?
Right now it's hard to say. You haven't seen Chris Clements even show up yet.
Right.
You would think that Andre Branch's opportunities are going to be there.
And another guy who's got to stay healthy.
Right, because he's going into a contract year.
Will Ryan Davis get the snaps to, you know, everyone looks at his numbers. I say everyone. There are people that look at his numbers, and people look at how Pro Football Focus graded him and say, well, let's just play him more. But if you play him more, he may not be as effective per snap than if you're using him the way you're using him right now.
And at least the talk that they have right now is it doesn't sound like they want to expand Ryan Davis into like an every down Leo guy. They like the role that they have for him inside when they go to their NASCAR package, when they're bringing the house on third downs. I don't know how much they're going to expand that. I think if they did, that he'd be a real candidate for it. If you're going to ask me the most likely, I'd probably say Clemens would be the most likely,
Now he's the most likely guy to start.
Right,
at
which
the
is
position.
Me saying that I don't think they're going to have a double-digit sack guy.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
You can be very effective having a bunch of guys in that 6 to 8 sack range. You want to have that one guy because he makes offense coordinators stay up nights, you know, figuring out how to game plan for him. But
probably would have been Dante Fowler.
Well, that's what you would think, right? The interception thing, I think, is a little bit more hit or miss. You know what I mean? A little bit more luck of the draw. Maybe Aaron Colvin, we hope, has the ball hawking ways about him. But I could see any starting corner in the National Football League, if he gets enough snaps, being a five-interception guy. The question is, certain teams, the Jags, for instance, playing from behind a lot, you lose those opportunities when teams are in desperation mode and they have to throw in the fourth quarter on you because they have to and they're in comeback mode and they take a few more chances and they get it more predictable because they're throwing on practically every down where they're down a couple scores. So you lose those opportunities. I think that's where a lot of guys poach interceptions from. So, you know, your guess is as good as mine. Reggie Nelson was the last guy with five, but I think it's not necessarily completely flukish, but there's more of a degree of it with that statistic than these others, I think.
Yeah, I would say so. I think the two offensive statistics make the most sense to feel best about, hey, that kind of thing can happen because you can feed a guy the ball enough times
you
to get him to 1,000 yards. You can throw a guy a ball enough times that you feel like he's going to get to that kind of plateau. And for a guy like Allen Robinson, who I think we all expect to push, 80 catches, somewhere around that number this year if he stays healthy for the entire season, maybe even a little bit north of that. I mean, you can see him getting around that 1,000-yard number. So on offense, it's a little bit easier to determine those kind of things. When you're looking at the defense, I think you feel pretty good about who they have as far as cover corners on this football team right now, but it's so dependent on pass rush, those kind of numbers, and forcing bad plays and putting guys in good positions. And you felt like they covered pretty well last year at times in games. They weren't getting enough pressure to force turnovers in the secondary last year, at least not a bunch of them. So are they going to be able to do that this year now that they lost Dante Fowler? Have they really improved enough that you feel that much better about the pass rush going into 2015 than you did in 2014? Because I know I don't. So those numbers, I think, are really difficult to even try to predict. If they happen, great. Offense, you can control what you're doing on that side of the ball.
I've got a milestone for you. How about 8 wins? That'd be a nice milestone for them, right?
It's the only one that matters, man.
It really is. 8-10, you know, as many as possible, whatever the rest of the stats that come with it. Have you taken a good look at the Patriots championship rings, by the way?
No, I haven't seen them yet.
I believe 256 diamonds is what I heard was the count. All of them arranged specifically to form the shape of an asterisk. Actually, that's not true. But Jay Stance on Twitter, friend of the program, listener and all, sent us a picture of the side of the ring where apparently they've stolen a line from Gus Bradley. The side of the Patriots ring says, "Do your job." That has the final score of the Super Bowl and their overall record, including playoffs, of 15-4 last year. Do your job. I suppose those three words are not copyrighted by Gus Bradley.
I guess not.
In these parts, that's who we're thinking of.
And if you win a Super Bowl, you may get the rights to that.
Well, it's
if you were using that as your team slogan too, and you won the Super Bowl,
even if you weren't, and you decided to put it on there, you're like, we, you know what they say, that to the victors go the spoils. That includes writing the history. And Gus doesn't have a ring to write something on the side of. I'm sure he'll come up with something. I'm sure that's the least of his worries.
That's right. No limits.
Right. No limits. Whatever. I don't care what it is.
We want a ring this year.
Ha!
Next year at this time, we want to be looking at a picture of a ring that says no limits.
No limits. Perfect. I'll take it. We'll take anything Jaguar related when it comes to Super Bowl rings without question. All right. We'll come back, take a look at the fan feedback spotlight, which today asked you simply, what is your favorite cameo by an athlete in a movie or TV show? And this is in honor, I suppose, although I don't consider this a cameo. I think he's one of the stars of the movie, of LeBron James' new movie that I saw the preview for last night and called Trainwreck, which, honestly, I find it hard to believe that they may end up actually marketing it that way,
right,
if it's as bad as I think it may be, ultimately, with Amy Schumer and Bill Hader.
It's two funny people. And
very
LeBron
funny
James.
People. I don't know if I'm going to like Amy Schumer in a movie. I think Amy Schumer is hilarious doing stand-up. I don't know so much if I want to see her in a movie. Bill Hader creates some great characters. I don't know if it's going to be a great mix with he, LeBron, and Amy Schumer. But I think the name has me intrigued, Trainwreck. So with that, share your thoughts via Twitter, at MD underscore 1010XL, at 1010XL, Fat Tony, and of course, 641-1010, the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line doubles as your call-in line as well. We'll take a look at the fan feedback spotlight coming up next. It's Jaguars today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here live at Everbank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Hi, this is Coach Mark Richt.
This is Donovan Darius, former Jacksonville Jaguar.
Hi, I'm Harry Carson on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, coming down the home stretch, Jaguars today on this Monday. Jags out on the practice field each of the next 3 days. Doesn't look like Gus Bradley's popping in today, Tony, so we'll be hopeful to catch him perhaps tomorrow when the first day of minicamp practice wraps up. Again, if you're planning on attending Jaguar minicamp, the only day you can do it is on Thursday. Go to jaguars.com/veteran minicamp, and you can print out your ticket, so to speak, or your voucher, however you want to look at it. It's free to attend, but you do have to print out a pass from jaguars.com/veteran minicamp. So don't forget to do that. Go ahead and do it today. Throw in your glove box. It'll be all there, all set for you. What else did I want to tell you? Oh, one, I said 256 diamonds, 205. How are they ever going to get by if they have to sell that for food later on, Tony, with only 205 diamonds?
I'm watching TMZ put the video up of them dancing, the Patriots dancing at their ring party.
At Robert Kraft's house.
Yeah, with Wiz Khalifa apparently DJing this thing. And Tom Brady's dance is pretty bad. It's pretty bad. Gronkowski cannot be stopped. He's an animal.
Of course not. He's Gronk.
Yeah, and then they show Robert Kraft doing a move. He's surrounded by all these players, and he's doing this awful old white man dance with Wiz Khalifa. It's pretty fantastic stuff.
Is he doing the robot? What is he?
No, he's just doing like this.
He's kind of moving his hands.
Yeah.
Little slow motion jazz hands.
Yeah.
Kind of something or other.
Yeah.
All right.
Tom Brady put him up. He put him up. He was doing a full gangsta thing out
Tom
on the
Tom doesn't care. What does Tom care?
What's he not got?
Right? You know, everyone in New England to say, oh, that Tommy was wicked awesome doing his dance. You know, they don't care. Everything he does, they love. So. As it should be, I suppose. If he was your guy, you'd feel the same way about it. We got a Father's Day prize pack for you right now, as a matter of fact. If you'd like it, what it includes is a $25 gift certificate to trophykits.com and a $25 gift certificate to Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar. So $50 worth of goodies, all for the dialing. Just dial 641-1010. We'll take caller number 3 right now. And for more great Father's Day gift ideas, simply visit 1010XL.com. And we got you covered as far as that goes. But $25 gift certificate to trophykits.com, another $25 to Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar for the third caller right now to 641-1010. Tyler asked us if we're going to watch hockey tonight. You may. I won't. I will not watch hockey. I will not watch College World Series.
I got a bunch on tonight.
I got
hockey, College World Series. The Braves play the Red Sox in pointless interleague baseball.
That is truly pointless interleague baseball. Yes. Go Braves.
I still don't get the whole interleague thing all year long. It ticks me off. I know we got 15 teams in both leagues, but it still ticks
me off. Well, that part, yeah, but the whole interleague process, I mean, it's just, you know, it's obviously worked for them. They think it's enhanced popularity and viewership and all that stuff.
I guess so, yeah.
So if they're making money, that's what it matters to them as far as that goes. I'll have Murder in the First tonight with Taye Diggs. And Kathleen Robertson.
I'll be watching all that while I'm doing a show.
She's quite fetching, young lady.
I'm on from 7 to 9, so I'll watch as much of it as I can at the station and then rush home for whatever I got left after I get done tonight.
We've got Fan Feedback Spotlight, Tony. Question of the day by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships asking folks what drives you, and we asked you today, give us your favorite athlete in a cameo role on either television or in a movie, and a lot to choose from.
Yeah,
what did we get?
From Cristiano Pele in 1981 movie Victory with Michael Caine and Sylvester Stallone.
Sly, yes.
I do believe today is the anniversary of Pele coming to the States and deciding to be a member of the New York Cosmos.
That, I saw something about that recently. Is it today?
I'll take
your word for it. Sly, a goalie in that movie, I want to say?
Yeah.
I think he was, yes.
Yeah. Chris said Dan Marino and Ace Ventura Pet Detective, hashtag Finkel is Einhorn. Einhorn is a man. It's a great
scene. I just never saw the fascination with Ace Ventura ever. Never thought it was funny. Didn't think it was funny when I saw it in the theater first time around. And it's gotten dumber over the years.
I still think it's funny. Ocho Ficho, Mean Joe Green, and Smokey and the Bandit 2 from Richard Brett Favre. And There's Something About Mary. What are you doing in town? I'm here to play the Dolphins, dummy. From Brett Favre. From Black Dog, Brett Favre, and Something About
that
Mary.
That was so good because it was just so low-key. I had my boyfriend Brett.
Right.
And it's Favre. And you're like, oh, and he played himself. Well, that was wonderful.
Joey. What's Brett Favre doing here?
I'm in town to play the Dolphins, you dumbass.
From Joey, Maurice Jones-Drew doing the Shiva Bowl shuffle on the league is my favorite.
Nice.
But the best is Lee Trevino and Happy Gilmore. That is fantastic. No words spoken by Lee Trevino, just shaking his head in exasperation at everything that Happy does. From Kevin, Easy, the softball episode of The Simpsons, so many baseball players. From Colby, Brett Favre, and There's Something About Mary. Demetrius, it has to be Jim Harbaugh when he made an appearance as Screech's cousin on Saved by the Bell. I don't remember that. From Country Collector, Jim Brown and Lawrence Taylor in Any Given Sunday. And from JP, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in Airplane. My dad says you don't hustle back on defense. To hell I don't.
You tell your dad to try carrying Bob Lanier's ass up and down the court. I don't know what the exact quote is, but that really is one of the great ones as well, even though he doesn't technically play himself. And I know a cameo, you don't have to play yourself, but that's what I think of it, you know, kind of those walk-on roles.
Sure.
As a kid, I posted a picture of this on Facebook, Joe Namath on the Brady Bunch. I think Don Drysdale was on the Brady Bunch as well back in the day. And before you had, I don't know, the old guy, Tony, but before you had, you know, 57,000 channels and you basically had three or four channels to choose from, when you saw something like that as a kid, it was like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
My worlds are coming together.
I know we had Lance Armstrong and Dodgeball mentioned, which I think that entire speech is viewed in a completely different light.
Right.
Than it may have been at the time about not quitting despite whatever odds you may be facing. On the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line, we also had Hulk Hogan as Thunder Lips in Rocky III. Blast off, meatball! That is one of my favorites.
You're unbelievable that you could quote the exact words that are said by him. I mean, I remember the scene.
I'm going to break him in half.
I remember, didn't he pick him up and the whole thing? Yeah, but
Paulie came in the ring, hit him with the chair from behind. They did the whole thing. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah. It was when Rocky was getting a little too big for his britches
mm-hmm.
back in the day. Josh Wiggins says, I remember watching the movie Friday Night Lights. In the first game of the movie, the guard lets the opposition player clean through to the quarterback and knocked him out for the rest of the season. I'm not 100% sure, but I think that was Zane Beatles making a cameo, says Josh Wiggin. Thank you, Josh.
That's pretty good.
Johnny Crump, two-word Space Jam, hashtag Jaguars today. That was on all weekend. My kid watched some of it. Heather said he liked it. I was doing a show at the time. I've never seen Space Jam.
MJ, Barkley, I think Larry Bird.
Donald.
Makes a cameo. We're talking about the cameos.
Oh.
In that movie. Bill Murray as himself is pretty darn funny in that one too. So
never seen it. Can't tell.
Really?
I've probably seen 5-10 minutes of it somewhere along the way. I'd never, you know, keep in mind when it came out, it's probably at the height of the Bulls' popularity, right? As a Knicks fan, I was not, you know, Michael had taken enough from me. He wasn't going to get my $8 or whatever it was at the time.
Okay.
Not a fan. George Weirich went with Brett Favre as well in Something About Mary. Britt said, how about the entire Texas State prison team in Unnecessary Roughness? And Alex Karras in Blazing Saddles by Kenneth Wayne.
Mongo.
One of the more popular ones as well.
Mongo just pawn in Game of Life.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't quote that one either for you. I probably have seen Blazing Saddles maybe once in my life. It's weird. Some movies that people hold as like touchstones
of
pop
Saddles.
Culture. It's fine. I don't dislike it. I don't know. Maybe I'm not a comedy guy. We're learning, or I've known over the years. See, Michael Sam left training camp kind of mysteriously up in Canada with the Montreal Alouettes on the eve of their first basically like the first preseason game.
Yeah.
Kind of up and disappear. Well, it didn't disappear. Told the team he's got some personal issues. They may know what it is that he's dealing with, but for a guy that just wants to be thought of as a football player, and I mean, other people deal with personal issues. I don't know too many guys taking, you know, leave of absences or excused absences or what have you when you're a marginal player trying to make a team. I don't know what is involved in this. Nobody really does, but, it's been a long time since Michael Sam's been on a football field in anything that matters, in a game that counts.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it's interesting that he would not be there at this point in time in the offseason. It's just that it's an odd decision to be made. I'm curious to see what the cause of it would be for Michael Sam.
Yeah, so apparently last Thursday, a reporter texted his agent and asked him why he wasn't there, and he replied that Sam had a migraine. And then...
Is he sick?
Does
he seriously have a problem that he's trying to get worked out?
I don't know, but it seemed like that response compared to dealing with a personal issue.
Right.
I mean, it could be related, but it didn't seem related. It almost seemed like that was an excuse that he was passing along, kind of like the cover story for the short term until they could devise something better. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that. It's not critically important, but you can't get away from the coverage of it, regardless.
No.
It's going to be out there. I understand why it is. And also, Tim Wright released last week. We mentioned him late in the week. He's a guy that they got from the Bucks, so the Patriots did, for Logan Mankins last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a weird time to be releasing veterans at this point of the offseason, right? I mean, to me, you wonder with Belichick if this is not – there's not some bigger issue going on. And I think for a lot of guys, Tim Wright is not a superstar, but he's an established vet in the league. He's not like a tryout player. You kind of know what you have, and you gave up something to get him.
Right.
It's just odd when rosters are expanded to 90 people that he would be cut loose. Odd to the point that 10 teams apparently put in claims. The Jags were not one of them.
Right.
Trying to get him on waivers. The Bucks have the first waiver priority.
And it wouldn't have mattered if they did.
Correct. The Bucks would have got him anyway. So the team that he was traded from, they got Logan Mankins in for him, gave up a year of his services, and got him back the next year. Who else did something like that very recently? Something like that happened very, very recently, where somebody got traded for something, and then they went out and signed the guy that they traded him for. Might not have even been in the NFL. Something like that.
Everyone thought it was probably going to happen with Lester. It wound up not happening, where he got shipped out.
Oh, yeah, that's certainly one where John Lester left the Red Sox, and they thought he'd re-sign,
yep.
Got
and
traded.
And he wound up in Chicago.
That's a good
obviously.
Point.
I'm not sure if someone did this offseason or not.
Bucks, Jets, Bears, Falcons, Browns, Saints, Dolphins, Chiefs, Steelers, and Lions all putting in claims for Tim Wright, but the Buccaneers go ahead and grab him. All right, that's going to do it for us today. We appreciate Bahati Van Pelt stopping by, longtime member of the Jaguar organization, working in player development and youth football as well, and now working with an organization called The Trust that's been in existence for a couple of years now with the NFLPA, helping former players transition to life after football. PlayersTrust.com for any of you former Jaguars out there who may want to avail yourself of their services, and there are a lot of great services that they offer, including a lot of money to continue your education once you're done with the league, and medical benefits as well. So check that out at PlayersTrust.com. Tomorrow on the field for the Jags, first of three mini camp days this week, and that'll wrap it up until training camp. We hope to see a bunch of you out there on Thursday. Make sure you stop by and say hello while we're broadcasting during the mini camp practice. Again, remember Jaguars.com/veteran minicamp to print out your pass. It's free to do, but you have to have that pass to get in, so make sure you do that ahead of time and don't leave yourself hanging at the last moment. So that'll do it for us today. We've got XL Primetime coming up in a moment. Thanks to Bahati Van Pelt once again. For Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, and for Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. That does it on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. This has been Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Ric Flair.